Well, there are frequent guests, and then there are incredible friends, and then there are people that have boundless energy that we love having on Nothing But Net. And that's Tamika Williams Jeter.
Yes! Head coach of Dayton. To the Hall of Famer. You know.
And, listen,
congratulations.
You and me can go on and on. So let's just try to, you know, keep it real here. Let's get right to it. Because last time we had you on Nothing But Net, you're the only coach, first of all, that ever would schedule on game day after the game. You scheduled after the game so that it would have included your post game enough time for that. However, we didn't even need to get there because what happened when we filmed last time?
Yeah, kind of got my first technical, really touching a ref, and got ejected. So you were the first face I saw, and thank God, thank the good Lord, it was Debbie.
Well, I often try to talk coaches off the ledge, no pun intended, you know, with you. You were right at that point where I think you were so shocked. And anyone who knows you knows that it was shocking that you actually got tossed. But what transpired after that? And like, what have you learned?
I learned a lot. I mean, of course, I had to write a letter to the referee. I think it was a moment in the game where I don't think it was him. I think I was just like, really, I went in like, I'm going to get my first tick. Because the foul count is ridiculous. Sarah Tibiasu was kicking our butt, you know, and I'm going to get my first one. How to do it, nobody really trained me on.
Well, you didn't get training from Gino? I mean, come on.
No,
you must have had a lot.
No. Like, it was like the fake CD. I don't have a CD just fake holding me back and all that. Well, it's not a show over here, you know. But I learned a lot. I mean, I had to write a letter, of course, pay a fine. I will say that talking to you was huge because you gave me a pathway of to like how to handle it and who to call and get ahead with apologies, honestly. And because I had never done it before and I've never come out of my box. I don't even talk to the refs. You know, I might be like, hey, what's the footwork look like or why, you know, that saved me because I felt so bad for Coach Commissioner Bernie, but I was able to coach the next game. Now, months later, I made the referee magazine, you know, it's my face in there and all of that. And so now there's a rule, of course, if you make contact with the ref, because I did touch the ref punching, but I touched him, you're automatically suspended a game. There's no question. And you have to pay the fine, whatever your conference does. So I definitely learned to keep my hands to myself, stay in my box and ask questions. But referees love me, so I'm good.
You know, I'm here 24/7 for coaches. If I could just write a book about the stories about the conversations I've had offline with coaches all across the country on different issues. And I love being that resource. I mean, this is a relationship-based game. Right, and you have to have relationships in all aspects of the game. My relationship with you goes all the way back to when you were the number one recruit in high school coming out of Chaminade, Julianne, and Dayton. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I attended a game with, rest in peace, our dear friend Nancy Darsh.
Nancy Darsh.
Who was recruiting you at Ohio State. And I went to the game with Nancy and I watched you. And it was like, I can't say I had been on a lot of like recruiting. I'd watched a lot of games, but I hadn't watched sitting next to a head coach and listening to what Nancy had to say about you and then watching your incredible career. We're not going to dig into your accolades. It'll take too long. We don't have that much time because it is a long list of things. But I do want to ask you, because being the number one recruit coming out of high school, being so sought after, if you were to fast forward 25 years, right, to now in the landscape with NIL and rev share and all of that stuff, like what do you think? Because I know you had to have reflected on, man, if this was me during my time, I can't imagine what I would have had. Like, tell me about it.
It would have been all of us. I mean, talking about some of the top recruits in the country, you know, arguably at that time. And it was a time where people were starting to put us on TV, you know, Georgia was good with Saudi around tree and Don Staley and them had just graduating the twins. Those were kind of the people kind of looked up to. Rebecca Lobo's coming around, of course, Tennessee, Louisiana Tech. You had all of Florida, you know, they got after. So you had all of these Stanford, of course, these powerhouses that were coming into play. People were just starting to pump money into women in sports, especially in basketball. We also were the first class to graduate. No, there was a W, right? I had the ABL here, so Columbus Quest was huge for us, but it went down, right? So now we had the WNBA, so we were also coming into play with that. We went Nike my freshman year. Remember my first year, we played maybe three or four games at Harvest Civic Center. By my senior year, it was like flip. You know, we only played a couple games at Gamble because you're talking about 14,000 to 20-plus thousand people showing up, and it was really sold out. So the amount of money that was being pumped into that place with us, our jerseys get sold. Oh, my soul, we're third. You know, oh, mine sold out today. It would have been unbelievable. Like I'm talking about, there's no way we would have walked away every year without making $1 million. At least, you know, when I'm looking at the other numbers. Plus, I think my little crew, we were marketable. We had personality, you know.
Yeah.
Coach still has us around, still calls all the time because we were a fun group to be around. We definitely pushed them, and we're still always around, you know. So I think that would have made us really pushed us over the top. Am I happy that we didn't have it? Yes, Debbie. Because our egos were already big enough. I couldn't imagine. We probably would have transferred and not been the team and the friends we are 20-some years later.
It's certainly always a work in progress when you're putting teams together, no matter the status, how much you're on TV, whatever your, you know, resume looks like from a basketball standpoint. But you definitely had some special years at UConn. I didn't realize, you know, I always looked at the Rebecca Lobo, Jen Rosati years as kind of like turning the corner at ESPN and ESPN paying attention. And then, of course, the explosion of what you just described with your group. I mean, you're talking, you know, Diana and Sue and Swin, and you don't even, these are iconic names. You don't even need a last name. Everybody knows you're talking about Tamika.
That was the game plan.
Yeah. Okay. So for you, seven wins, 12 wins, 18 wins in your, now you're in your fourth year. Last year tied for fifth in the A-10. The A-10 right now has four teams above the 65 in the net. Okay. Yep. So it's a very competitive league. What would you say has been a couple of keys to you having success and really turning the corner at Dayton?
People and culture. I think it's, you know, sometimes people overuse it, but the people to you're only as good as the people to your left and right, and growing like every year. My first year, I was a fish out of water. You know, it was like, who do you hire? What type of kid do you bring in? And I just remember fighting for culture and standards, like never lower your standard, Tamika, and fight for your culture every day. So that's kind of what I live by in this space. And we always have to be better than we were yesterday. And it starts with me. So I think that's kind of where we've gone. The type of kid we brought in is fit that I don't have to manage culture. We had our highest GPA ever in the history of women's basketball here, University of Dayton, majoring in real majors. And they're great kids. I don't worry about them off the court. I just have to coach basketball now.
You talk about great kids. I think that starts with Nia Lear. She's coming off a career high 30. She's a member of SAC. She's been with you for 4 years. So last year she was around 4 points a game. This year she's at 16 leading your team. I mean, you just mentioned it, you know, like sticking together as a team and what friendships and what relationships you were able to build. But what about the player development side of having somebody who actually stayed with you the whole time?
In the state that we're in the environment we have to coach in, we've only had one kid walk in my office and say, I absolutely don't want to be here. There's some kids I had to make decisions on. There's some kids I didn't keep for COVID years. But ultimately, we only have one kid walk in and say, I don't want to be here. That's pretty much unheard of. Now you have Nia Lear and my walk-on, Eleanor Moniak, who's also president, a walk-on's president of SAC. And they're on a lot of the committees. Development is huge. Growing these kids on and off the court. You know, I talked to Nia. She hit 30 now. I got to throw out our All-American nominee, Dugan, who crushed that couple hours later. But Nia Lear is, during our last game, is at Fordham. One of our kids makes a mistake. Nia's a very introverted kid. She's, you know, criminal justice, cyber security type kid. You know, she keeps everything tight. And she goes over to the kid and she goes, hey, a jock, get your head out of it. Next play, so-and-so. That kid would have never done that. She talks in huddles. She writes letters to people. She wants to be a GA. So she writes letters. She was not a high GPA kid when she got here. She's been on Dean's list her whole sophomore year, junior year, and senior year, right? So we're not just doing it on the court with these kids. And just as much as my assistant coaches push me, I push them to make these kids better. We hold them accountable. I'm honest with them. My assistant coaches, my staff, we're very honest with them, but we're there for them. They know we care. And that's why I think retaining kids is huge, right? The type of kids you want, but also seeing that, man, it's going to be ugly tears at the end of the year.
You know, there's something chilling about listening to a story about this one particular kid that we're just seem to be pointing out right now, Anaya Lear, who's your senior, who is averaging 16 points a game, leading your team, coming off a career high 30. She stuck with it. And I'm sure there were tough times. And she didn't always start. She didn't always play. And your job is to try to recruit more and better and just keep, you know, raising the bar. I got to believe that if we ever lose telling the stories of players like Nia Lear, then we're going to lose the pure fabric of what sport is supposed to be all about. And I'm afraid we're starting to lose it.
I agree. I mean, yeah, it's gone. I mean, with RevShare and things like that, they're kids who I've seen have great experiences, win, become better players and better people, and still leave. The mighty dollar is winning out. I think Kim Mulkey said it. They asked her, how do you keep this up? She said, the green money, 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 you know, and
it's true.
I don't, that's definitely not going anywhere. The numbers are only going up, you know. I'm sure ADs and commissioners and everybody wants it to even out, but I mean, you know, you'll lose a kid on $5,000. That's the hard part. It's like, do you want to chase a life experience? And is $5,000 to $10,000 enough to change your life? Now, there's some young women, young men who are making a decision that, you know, you're talking about multi-year, multi-million dollar decisions. That's a very small percentage. For us, we chase the experience. We chase making sure kids know we care. We're there for them during the tough times, and we push them hard on the court. And really, you can only control the controllables in the state that we're living in and coaching in. So that's kind of my focus. That's where I stay.
I think you have to stay there, right? And you have to keep it as humble as you can in a landscape where everyone's out for themselves and what they post on social and how much can they make. And it's just such a different time. So, you know, with all humility and getting your first experience as a head coach at Wittenberg, you had been in the Big 12 as an assistant. You've been in the Big East as a player. You've been in the Big 10 as an assistant. I mean, you had really worked your way up. And then Brian Agler said, you know what, I'm going to go get Tamika Jeter. I think she would be a good head coach here at D3. Yeah. What was that experience like? What did you learn?
Man, I thought he was crazy. First of all, that's not how it happened. It was a total setup. I don't know anything about Wittenberg. I don't know anything about D3 basketball. I don't even know anything about D2, NAIA, a little bit about junior college. And my mother has severe short-term dementia. So he calls me and says, hey, he said, come see the facility. You've been to Wittenberg, so you know how nice for D3 the steamer is. So I show up and he's walking me around. And as he's walking around, he's showing me some of the office. And I'm like, BA's up to something, you know? And then I come like the second time, come down the second time. Then he drops the bomb on me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's not even in my future. It's not the first time somebody's asked me. It's not the first time. I'm good. You know, I love being an assistant coach. I love the development. I love all conference kids. I love growing them. I love being an academic advisor, you know, liaison. Like, I love everything about it. I don't want to be one of these crazy people over here to my, you know, sitting up on his chair. And I loved it. That'd be like,
yeah,
I love coaching those D3 kids. They play so hard with passion, and they got on the floor. When I didn't coach them hard, they called me out on it. It was at a junior varsity team. I had one assistant coach. I had to do everything, budget. We brought Adidas in, you know, me and BA tried to make it as big as we could for these kids. And we win the NCAC. The first year we knock off a perennial powerhouse at the D3 space, DePaul. And I respected every coach I coached against, and I still cheer on, and I still repost D3 stuff, and my kids still send me voicemails, and they still come to the games, and they intern with me. And I absolutely love D3 basketball. There's no difference for me. Those kids are passionate. They love the game, and I loved every minute of it.
I know you're a solutions-based thinker. So when you are preparing your team for games and you're measuring yourself up against, which, you know, comparison can be the thief of joy, but it also can be a motivator.
Yes.
When you're measuring yourself up against what the A-10 has to offer this year, which is very competitive. I mean, there's some really big non-conference wins. You got two undefeated teams right now at the time of our taping, Rhode Island and George Mason, but you're right in the mix because there's a bunch of teams with one loss and there's a bunch of teams with two losses. So it's going to be fun to watch. What do you think about the growth of the A-10? And then I want to ask you about Maggie Dugan at Richmond.
We can talk about Maggie Dugan all day. We're about the player, so I can really talk about her. A-10 is a great conference. I think the coaching in the A-10 is elite. From Aaron at Richmond. You know, they're going to spread you out. He's got two seniors who are just really good, left over.
Rachel Ostrom, Sweeney.
I think it's underrated. Ostrom, one of the best three-point shooters in the country. I don't care. Best cutters in the country. Passers in the country. And Dugan is one of the best players in the country, I think. You go to Rhode Island, Tammy's always going to put something together, right? I get in the league. She has some of these dominant post players, a shooter, all the things. And now she's getting a couple kids with some experience. And, you know, they knock off Richmond and doing really good.
Your game against Richmond is the one that I want to put the mileage tracker on both of you on the sideline. I want to know between the two of you who has put more miles in game.
Oh, man. We probably, I would hate to see that, you know, but again, this conference has a lot. You know,
yeah,
I think
good.
You
it's
look
great.
At St. Louis, she's always prepared defensively. She's going to muck it up. I think she does a great job. You have Davison. They're going to switch everything. I mean, I think when I got to this league, she probably had a top 25 team. You know, I would always tell Gail that, like, I mean, they went to North Carolina, I think, lost by one on the Ithaca call. Went to Duke, beat them. That team, they beat us by 30, you know. So, but the one thing I love about it is it's taught me so much. Mm-hmm. Coaching against really good coaches, it really helps you grow because every night you got to bring something. And every year we've closed the gap. We just won at Fordham. We've never won at Fordham. I haven't won at Fordham as an assistant at Ohio State, assistant at Penn State, or head coach at Dayton. It didn't matter who coached there. We weren't going there. We just got our first win. A lot of firsts for us. You know, our first time beating St. Louis last year, our first time beating Fordham last year, our first time beating Duquesne last year. We just beat Duquesne again. So I think the coaching in this league, Cindy at St. Joe's, I mean, come on. Like, it's oozing out of this conference. You got great coaches. You got to come prepare. And now I think more so than even though we have two undefeated teams, there's more parity. So when I got here, let me tell you something. Rhode Island, Tammy Reese wasn't losing the list. They didn't show up that day. And Richmond was young and talented. All those kids were freshmen. And Davidson would kick your butt. They were one of the toughest teams in the country. And St. Louis, she came over, brought a couple players, Martinez and the big kid, the 6'7" kids stay, and she wins the conference. Duquesne was thumping. You know, he shot a lot of threes, and Dan had to move. I could go St. Joe's, Ziegler, all those kids were young, and they were coming up kind of like the Richmond. So they were a year ahead of Richmond as far as in age and in that group. So when I got in this league, they would pummel you. You were going to get your butt kicked by coaches who knew their team, by George Mason was coming on. You know, Vanessa was just starting to figure it out. So I could keep going on and on about this conference and what it means to me to be in a young head coach growing in it. And you know, every year we just try to be better. But iron sharpens iron, and man, they are sharpening me up.
You got great relationships with other head coaches in the league, and that's not by accident. I know you've worked at it, and they've worked at it too. Yeah. I think collectively, you have to have some galvanizing forces when you're a team that, or a program, I should say, or a league that's trying to get multiple bids in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. So the more that you talk about how good Maggie Dugan is, and what you're getting ready to face, the better it is for your team. Yes. I think with Bernadette McGlade, who just retired as leader of the A-10, who really moved the needle in the A-10, hiring Candy Cage, right? Yep. Energy, strategic, vision, all those things. Like, what's next for the A-10? Like, where do you see in your solutions-based thinking of where you think there could be opportunities?
Number one, losing Bernie is going to be huge. And I didn't know she was going to retire. So I got a phone call and somebody said, hey, I want you to do an interview about it. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Not that it's not time. Not that this woman hasn't poured so much into sports in general at the collegiate level and women in sports. But losing her is going to be huge. Let's start there. Because she's the person who walks in that room when we have our head coaches meetings down in Naples, Florida, and says, who do you guys want to be? And it's a different conversation because we're not a power. Right. And we're not too low of a mid-major.
Right.
We're right there in the mix. And she said, we got to schedule differently. And this is just in my 4 years, you know, the 3.5 years being in this conference. And you don't really know what that means until you got these high net teams. Right. And then the high net teams, they got to play somebody.
Yeah.
One thing about Bernie, she don't come in there and sugarcoat it. But everything she's come into and demanded in that space of who we want it to be has worked.
Never has been Lowry in her language. I mean, right to the point, which I like, I respect. Awesome. Nobody has time for a bunch of, you know.
It's been great. Where we are, we need that. That's why I said we're going to miss her. And then, you know, you have people in the room like Vanessa and Aaron. And when Cindy had her teams of like, taking on playing the right teams. You got to go play some the top of the Ivy. That's close. You got to go play some neutral sites. You know, we really talked about METs. We really sit in that room and talk about how can we schedule to get multiple teams in. Now, I think St. Joe's would have been right there. We beat them last year. we were the spoilers. You know?
You were.
And we beat them last year. But again, and then the caliber of kid. Ziegler's now at Louisville, kicking butt. When I got here, there's a UMass team, right? The only person who graduated, Sam Breen, their point guard. Mayo goes to St. John's, starts. I can't remember the other kid. They had a shooter that went to Louisville. Starts.
Sydney, lefty.
Yes, yeah. Lefty shoot. So DeWolf goes to Notre Dame, you know, starts. Like, I can name all the players who left this conference, mostly for COVID years. They play. So the caliber of talent in this conference is elite. Mm-hmm. When they leave, Ziegler is starting for Louisville. And when I talked to Jeff Walls, he's like, I need her to do more. Like, she's running point for a game. So one thing about this is not just about the coaches in this conference. We got players who go and play UCLA and have 20-plus points named Duke. That's what I'm calling her, our All-American candidate.
Yeah, you know? You should. She is. After that 48. So, all right, so what are you going to do with her? You got them next. Don't give up the whole game plan, but just give them something to look for.
We just got to make it tough, you know, on her. She is so lethal. We've played other teams where they have players that are guards who like to turn the corner or shoot the three ball. She does it all. Yeah. She has positional size. She's tough to nails. I mean, she will elbow you in the face. She's just nasty, but she's gonna smile and all that.
She's got a little Philly in her.
Oh, yeah. She's got some. Oh, she's definitely all Philly, right? She can shoot the three ball. She gets to the rim. She'll post you up. She's second in the conference in rebounding. She's first in the conference in scoring. She's coming back as player of the year. She's playing with a chip on her shoulder because she has something to prove. They don't have Budnick, who led them in assists as a 5. You shot 40% from the field, relieved a lot of pressure. So all that's on her and Ostrom. Essentially. And Sweeney stepped up big time.
Yeah.
Right. This year. So that kid, I've never seen her back down to anybody. She's our All-American candidate. I can't wait to get on my rat call because I don't know why they picked me, because they're not going to be able to cut me off, Miss Debbie Antonelli. Okay. to talk about this league and a kid like that represents this league. She's high character, high academic. You know, I think she's going to be an attorney. She's a fan favorite. I love her game. I respect her. I think she could be a pro. Any scout looking out there, just call me. I'll sell that kid to anybody. She's just mean, tough, and oof. Okay.
Sounds a lot like a scout report of Tamika Williams back in the day.
She's good.
Coach Jeter, Coach J, Coach T. I don't know what they call you, but whatever they call you, they better call you boss, because you're on top of it. And we are so pleased. I mean, still one of the best interviews we always have is getting you to be on our podcast. You are welcome here anytime. We love your energy. We love having time with you, Tamika. And we appreciate you giving us some time in your schedule as you prep for Richmond, which is coming up next for the University of Dayton.
Well, Debbie, I just want to say thank you. I always say this one here. You are God sent to me, and you have known me for a long time. And after that game, you know where I was. And for you to be the angel that just said, hey, this is how you maneuver, or that angel I can call, or somebody that you do this. And every time I go on Twitter, you're interviewing another kid, a kid from a school nobody knows about, a coach from a school nobody knows about. You're going to have a library when the good Lord takes you. That is going to be, we want to bury you in both Hall of Fames, because you've committed to our game in so many ways. And I appreciate it. And I've benefited from it. We love you. And thank you so much, Debbie.
Well, I love you too. And thank you so much for taking the time. And thank you for your kind words. And it doesn't ever feel like work when you get to do stuff like this with you, Tamika.
You sure act like it. you bring it every day. You know,
spent 4 years in the Beaver Creek suburbs of Dayton. So let's go. Let's go UD. Big part of my broadcasting career flows through the University of Dayton with my time when Oliver Purnell was the head coach there. So I got a special place in my heart for you. One of my kids was born at Miami Valley Hospital, and Frankie was born there, and we got a lot of great friends there. So I'm so grateful for your time, and have a fun time at Richmond. We'll be following along.
Oh yeah, they got to come to us. Well, thank you, Debbie. Good luck and be safe, because I know you're about to travel somewhere, cover some game, or promote somebody. So keep doing what you do.
Thank you. Thanks. We appreciate it. That's Tamika Jeter, the head coach of the University of Dayton, on Nothing But Net.